Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier have a very special episode wrapping up their discussion on Lent and the season of Lent. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome to part two of our mini Being Lutheran bonus episodes on Lent.
You ran out of bees a little too early.
Yeah, right.
Especially with a name like Brett Bowe, you shouldn't.
Brett Bowe, yeah. My middle name is does not start with a B. Triple B.
Triple B. You're like the Guy Fieri of the AFLC.
Also.
Welcome to Flavortown. So you're in almost every conceivable way, you're the opposite of Guy Fieri.
Yes, that's right. Plain white rice at your service.
Every time I eat plain white rice now, I think of you. Yeah. And actually, I do just like plain rice.
Yeah.
And every time now, it's
We had Brazilian chicken and black beans today, and I was like, oh, Brett's meal.
Yeah. And I actually did eat here. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Before you guys. All right. So speaking of food, we're talking about fasting.
Not eating.
Yeah, not eating. Yeah.
We are talking about something of which I am an expert, and that is resisting eating food.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
We're
not the guys to talk about this.
No. That,
Brett
that's
might
true.
Be.
No. I could join you on the offensive line.
Side note, this is entirely unhelpful, but you know,
our listeners
haven't quit listening to us because of our banter, they're not going to start now. I was listening to do you guys see the weight of the Philadelphia Eagles line? They mentioned it during the Super Bowl. It was like they're 6'4", 338 was the average size of the lineman. And in the first Super Bowl, the person, you know, the average weight and height of the lineman were 6'2", 245.
Wow.
And I'm like, geez, that's me.
That's a wide receiver.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah.
Makes Derrick Henry look fat. Yeah. Sorry for those who don't know any inside football references.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. But fasting, I mean, this is maybe one of the first topics that people think of when they think of Lent. Maybe your average person that hears about Lent or thinks about Lent is kind of the perennial debated question, should you give up anything for Lent, or are you giving up anything for Lent? Why? That sort of, all these questions.
We should probably start with the that to Catholic end of this, since this is actually Catholic Church kind of stuff. So if you're Roman Catholic, you give up eating meat on Fridays, which is why, wink, wink, nod, nod, that the fish fillet, the filet of fish, just happens to come back in February.
Filet of fish, yeah.
Give me back that filet of fish. Yeah.
So I think I've told this story before. And for our listeners, I'm sure you don't pay close enough attention to remember anyway. But when I was a pastor in Pittsburgh, we would always we wore a clerical collar. So, like a traditional Lutheran clerical collar, but in some of our church bodies circles, it would look very Catholic. So I walked into an Arby's on Good Friday.
We've got the meats.
They did. They had plenty of meats. And there was a kid that was taking my order. He was probably a high school kid, right? He's looking at me and, standing in front of his little computer where he's going to enter my order. And I said, I'll have the Big Montana. And he doesn't look down at his computer. He doesn't move. He just continues to stare at me. Like, I'm wearing, and I realized, I'm wearing my collar, and it's Friday. Good Friday. This kid's like, I can't serve a priest meat. This is a joke. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm Lutheran. It's okay. And so I got my Big Montana.
Yeah.
In my clerical collar on Good Friday.
Mess with all the minds of people watching you eat.
And then I wonder, did I destroy the kid's faith? You know, I don't know. Yeah.
I know there's historic reasons, and I'm not a liturgist, and I don't care. I just find it funny that, the Catholics are like, we're going to give up meat on Friday, but actually fish doesn't count as meat. It's not like it's a vegetable.
The other thing about Pittsburgh was the amount of fish fries that they had there. And we don't have that in Minneapolis, at least not the culture I've been made.
Lutefisk dinners.
Yeah, it's like that, only better. Yeah, only good. Good. Actually, just good. So good out there. And you'd go, you'd find the good ones, and you'd have to order days in advance. I mean, the churches absolutely, I mean, they made probably half of their yearly budget on those meals. They would, you know, that they would charge for. It was great. I don't know. They do have something going on, you know.
They figured it out.
Yeah, they have.
The wild game feed is the upper Midwestern alternative to the lutefisk dinner during Christmas, during Advent. That's what makes up for it. It's like a net neutral kind of a thing. The whole fasting thing comes from the Catholic concept, again, the mortification of the flesh. That's what we're talking about.
Which, by the way, I mean, you referenced a Brian Wolfmiller, I don't know if it's an episode or an article he had written, Bible study.
Yeah.
I would direct you guys to listen or to read a, and I think he maybe was interviewed on Issues, et cetera, too, on this. But
highly unlikely for him.
Progressive mortification. Just look that up, Brian Wolfmiller. He's got a couple of good resources there that speak about this topic, too. But what were you going to say?
So we're going to start that the idea of fasting as a Christian during Lent is both adiaphora. It's not prescribed in Scripture. And on the other hand, though, it's a good idea. You know, it's not in an inherently bad practice. It can be beneficial. Recently, I know pastors, and I'm on this team 100%, that don't just give up something, but add something.
Yeah. I was going to mention a couple of things that I've done in terms of like reading.
Yep.
I know one year, I think it was Gene Veith recommended reading George Herbert poems. And that was delightful. I mean, I'm not a poem kind of guy, but it was especially poems about the cross, and that was really really good.
Every year during Lent, I read The Lamentation of a Sinner by Catherine Parr, one of King Henry VIII's wives, the final wife, the one who wasn't beheaded.
Yeah,
and it's she was a closeted Lutheran. It's a really good book for meditating on the mortification of the flesh. I have an acquaintance who tries to read through Scripture during Lent, like the whole of the Bible.
Yeah,
during the 40 days of Lent.
This year, I'm going to try to read Sacred Meditations, Gerhard.
Yep, his devotional work is exceptional. I have other friends who will memorize. And then others who will simply build in good habits. So, like, if you're giving up something, commit to exercising or going on a walk. Or, you know, the problem with doing all of those is eventually
Adam squirming here.
it eventually ends up distracting from the meaning.
But that's it. That's why I'm squirming over here. It's like that's not at all what fasting is supposed to be. It's not a giving up of bad habits for good habits. It's not about losing weight. It's not about being healthier. It's not about all of these things. It really is at the core of it. It's a reminder. You guys are just smirking at me.
What? No, I think this is exactly where I wanted to get you.
I'm feeling
pretty fulfilled in this right
now. I got played,
didn't
I?
That's exactly,
It's at the core of fasting, what it is God serving us. It's a reminder of our being filled by God and His sufficiency. That's really, at the heart of it, that's what it is. You don't fast in order to get God's attention. That's not the purpose of fasting. You don't fast to get other people's attention, which we're going to read about, right? We don't fast.
This Bible study so far brought to you by 8.5 minutes of not studying the Bible.
We're alluding to it. You know? We're good. So many comments about sermons right now I want to make. But anyway, all that to say, this is not a sermon. It is definitely a topical discussion. But it's not about what you don't eat. It's not about what you look like in front of other people. At the end of the day, fasting is there for us to be reminded of our dependence on God and His complete sufficiency. If it does anything else, if it makes you thinner, if it makes you, whatever, whatever happens, sure, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, there's the Daniel diet, and it's really great for your blood sugar. I really don't care about your blood sugar. I mean, I do, but not about this.
Go eat some Ezekiel bread.
That's
no, never.
Cooked over dung.
Yeah.
I really want to know if they do. I got to ask them. I'm going to write a letter. Do you cook this over dung? Because if not, I'm not in.
We should call them on
go
the air.
Whole way.
Go the whole way.
Hello? Is this the Ezekiel 9 bread people? Yeah? What do you need? Where do you get your dung? No. Anyway, sorry, kids, if you're listening.
Go the whole way.
go the whole way. Anyway, wow.
Now we're so far afield. Yeah. Let's talk about
fasting. Yeah. Okay, Brett, why don't you read this? Because Jesus was pretty, you know, he had some thoughts.
Right. Yeah, and I think, too.
That was meant to be laughed at. Right. He had some thoughts.
Some thoughts, yeah.
Had something to say.
All right, yeah. So I'm going to read for us Matthew 6, and we're right smack in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 16 and 17. Or no, 16 through 18, I'm sorry. It says this. Jesus says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Here ends the reading of Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think the thing that always strikes me about this passage is, you know, some people say, well, you should not fast never do that sort of thing. And you get the sense from Jesus is like, when you fast, like this is going to happen in your life.
This is to be a necessary thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, again, I'm eventually going to say something that just sets Adam off again, which is why we're doing this episode. But you get a sense of fasting in Scripture that it's a recalibration for your faith.
Yeah.
That you end up focusing in on why we believe what we believe and why we do it. And it's some people fast for the sake of praying. And, you know, you had the meditative properties of fasting that what God provides for us is good enough. In Lent, there is the property of part of fasting is to dwell on our suffering and our sinfulness. This is the mortification of the flesh, which is why some of that is done. Mm-hmm. But the whole point, especially after having gone through now umpteen different articles on church traditions and adiaphora and, you know, ceremonies that do not justify anything that is done in place of the gospel or that distracts us from the word of God will eventually, if not instantaneously, be harmful. And that's what we have to resist and avoid, even as we want Lent to be a deeply meaningful season in the life of Christians.
Yes. Your statement. This is fun. We should do this more often.
I'm usually the only one who soapbox rants on this podcast. I'm loving every second of this.
Yeah, that's good. Once we get to the formula, maybe I'll have some more rants to do too. I a lot of perversions of the faith are easily spelled out and, you know, fixed in the formula. I'm looking forward to that. No, the mortification of the flesh thing. There is always a sense in fasting of our brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that knowing that that's going to be a soapbox for Jason. It's our sinfulness, but also all the things that sin broke, such as lack or need, right? There wasn't a palpable feeling of lack or need prior to the fall. But there is in the fact that we are dust, like we talked about last week. And so this whole repenting and kind of beating ourselves, it's almost, we got to be careful that it doesn't become a self-flagellation thing, right? Like the whole Luther, you know, beating and whipping himself as though the wounds of Christ weren't enough. We don't have to punish ourselves for the sake of being punished. We don't have to, you know, remind ourselves of how terrible and awful we are, you know, and what a miserable creature we are for the sake of doing that. But in fasting, what we do is we voluntarily set aside something so that we can focus our attention rather than stuffing our faces, which I'm good at, right? Sushi. All you can eat sushi is a dangerous place for me. But we can stuff our face all we want, but when we pause from that, we are forced to be reminded that our good and our benefit and our gifts all come from the hand of the Father. And so we look to him in prayer. And that's the gifts that we're wanting to understand. It's a closer relationship with him. It's a growing, not to be more saved, but it's an understanding of him more deeply, which is what he wants us to do, to understand him more deeply. That's why he says in the text, he says that, you know, you're fasting and not making a big show of it, your Father will reward you in heaven. On the contrary, he says that if you, you know, do it, you know, to be seen, to be, you know, to show the world, you know, how miserable you are. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing here. I'm punishing myself because I'm such a terrible sinner. You've received your reward in full. Why? Because you've got your attention. Yeah, if that's what your goal is, the attention, mm-hmm. right? You got the people's attention. Good. There you are. There's your reward. If that's really what you want. Instead, no, let's do it so that we know that God's goodness and sufficiency is ours because of Christ. That's all it points to.
So, and that's what allows us to tie this episode back to the last episode. We were talking about the imposition of ashes. One of the more obnoxious trends, thanks to social media, has been the posting of the ash cross selfie. And it allows us to do it with the black and white filter on, very artsy, very tragically hip. And that's exactly what you're talking about with fasting, Adam. It's like, if this is a photo op, mm-hmm. then all of the value of doing that has been lost. It's been negated.
Yeah.
And the best advice I heard about the ash cross is someone who was not from a liturgical tradition, had joined a church and for the first time went through the imposition of ashes. And then at the end of the service, you know, and a lot of churches do imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday morning. And so you walk around literally with the cross on your, and the person asked their pastor, do I wash it off? You know, when do I get rid of it? And this is like some of the wisest advice I've ever heard from the mouth of a pastor, which, you know, it's not me. Like, I'm not doing the Paul in Corinthians where, like, I know a guy. This is definitely not me. He said, if you're proud of it, wash it off. If you're ashamed of it, keep it on.
Ooh, I like that.
And I, just the highly profound advice for doing, if the exercise of your religion is done for show, then it's being done for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
And if the expression of your preferences in worship is done to the extent that it makes you a connoisseur, it's done for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Does this point you to law and gospel? Does it cause you to dwell on law and gospel? Does it emphasize the cross in the empty tomb? And if it does, it is to be embraced. And if it doesn't, it is to be rejected because we already have the cross in the empty tomb and that's good enough.
Right. I love how this topic gets us to see yet again just how legalistic forms of Christianity that's done for the sake of showing your righteousness before others is empty and will not ultimately get you what you're hoping for.
Yeah, and that's the statement, right? Because the liturgical high church traditional can do that, but you can just as much do the exact same thing in the opposite direction. You know, it's kind of like what Luther writes on the love of money in the seventh commandment in the large catechism is like your greed and lust for hoarding goods is just as much if you want to do it to be wealthy as if you're poor and obsessed with it. It's breaking of the commandment in either direction. If our the performance and expression of our piety in a traditionalistic, liturgical, you know, however your adjective and adverbs line up, if it's done for show, it'll be legalistic and it'll be robbed of value. If your expression of not being that as a Christian, of instead being hyper-individualistic and low church, does the same thing, then you're no different. Mm-hmm. And you can be just as obnoxious in the other direction by insisting how not traditional you are. And again, it shows that what we more often than not are doing is we're missing the point.
Yeah, and that's the key. I think you're a lot of the people who will criticize a higher view of Lent or the practices of Lent, such as fasting, I think that it's beating. I don't know if this is a straw man argument, and it kind of is in a way, where they're developing this, you know, caricature of what this is supposed to be, and then destroying it. I think it is a straw man thing, but a lot of people who will criticize these things are doing exactly what we talked about last episode about, you know, Luther saying don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know. Yes, I dislike some of the theology of the Catholic Church. Therefore, this is a horrible picture. I'm so afraid. We do it with everything, though. You know, we are so in danger of that mentality in so many ways. Well, that person wore a clerical collar. Let's just make fun of them because that church does that or this. And some of our listeners will be like, what do you mean? Everybody wears a clerical collar. No, not everybody in our church body does. And so people make that comment, well, it's too Catholic or it's too high church, or it reminds us of the days in our world of the Norwegian, you know, state yep. church that was not, you know, we're not there anymore. What does this point to? Okay. All of these things, whether it be fasting, whether it be what we wear, whether it be how we, you know, how we structure worship, all of these things, really, at the end of the day, whatever you do needs to point your eyes to Jesus and his finished work. And if it doesn't, you're either fighting windmills or you're doing something. I just drew another illustration. I'm not sure I'm using correctly, but yeah. You know, you're fighting all these things, or you're arguing for all these things that don't matter. At the end of the day, where are your eyes? If your eyes are on Jesus and trusting in his sufficiency, that is what we need. That is what we are looking for. That is what Lent is all about.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.